Living, there we go, sorry. Living through the power of His grace. We hear the word grace, we think about unmerited favor. We think about, I didn't do it, God did it. We think about grace being the key word to salvation. But grace goes much deeper than that. Grace goes much deeper than just a word that saves us. Grace is something we should be operating in our daily walk with God, every day. There's power in grace. And this is what we're going to talk about. How can we live a life in victory over the power of sin? It's through grace. There are so many people that hide behind grace and live their lives the way they want, saying, I'm saved by grace, don't matter how I live. It's not true. Grace is a power, an operating presence in our lives that we should be allowing Him to lead us into. God's voice is always speaking to us. God's always directing us if we're His children. But we refuse to listen sometimes, or we listen, but we don't obey. We hear what He says, but we don't operate in it. We instead allow our flesh to do what it wants to do, and then we always feel bad for it, and we always regret it, and we always pay a price for it. But sometimes we just keep doing the same thing over and over. It's time we break that cycle and begin to walk and operate in the power of His grace, that we can overcome the things of this world. What separates a person? Why can some people not get part of the world and some can't stay out of the world? I'm talking about Christian people. Some that really can abstain and some that live a different life, and then others keep drifting in and can't seem to break that cycle. It's because they've learned to listen to what's inside of them and live by that new standard, not the old standard. We're going to talk a lot this morning, so we cut singing a little bit short because I want to get in the Word. Turn to Jeremiah, verse 30, beginning with verse 33. Yes, thank you. Chapter 31 and verse 33. Let's just talk about what Prophet Jeremiah said about this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now that is, and I may have got the verses wrong on that, and I'm sorry if I did. I'm going to forgive their iniquities and remember them no more. That's grace. God was going to establish grace in the world. Think about this. No charge, as the old song was sung. All I do, no charge. All you did, no charge. I'm not charging you anymore. I'm forgiving you and wiping all that away. That's the new covenant I'm going to make. So we first got to establish what grace is. Grace was not remembering our iniquities anymore. That's hard for us to fathom because we are constantly reminding ourselves of our failures and our faults all the time. We're beating ourselves up continually. We weep and we mourn many times, I'm sure all of us do, over missed opportunities, over past mistakes. Do you ever wish you could reverse the tape and start over on some things? Boy, I do. I would do things so differently if I could rewind. And I was actually grieving this week for a while. Just had a moment. I just regret so, you know, as your kids begin to get older and you see things changing and you just look back and think, I wish I'd have done so many things differently. And you realize you can't get that time back. It is what it is. It's lost. It's over. It's gone. It's done. All the mistakes that we make, you can't refix. You can't reverse. They're done. They're out there. You've done them. Then here comes grace to remind us, yes, you did a lot of bad things. Yes, you made a lot of bad mistakes. Yes, you rebelled against me. Yes, you disobeyed me. But you know what? I forgive you of all that's been done. How is that possible? No love is like this love. Even as we're stumbling into Saturday night with our flesh leading the way, God sees us as beautiful. And he sees us, why are you doing this to yourselves? Why are you living a life controlled by sin whenever you are supposed to be operating in grace? See, grace is an empowerment. Grace empowers us to live a life over the power of sin. Church, we can live over the power of sin if we want to because of the grace. And we're going to talk about it in scriptures. We blame the devil for so much and we blame our weaknesses. And yes, we're weak. But when we are weak, he is strong. As we surrender ourselves unto his governing, we will see a difference in the outcome of our lives and our steps. Who's governing our lives? Who are we allowing to govern us? The enemy or the Holy Spirit? One of us, one of those two is governing our lives every day. We'll wake up and keep committing the same things over and over and over, stay in that cycle of sin. We're not allowing grace to operate in our lives fully. Because you know what? Grace empowers us to say no. No more. It stops here, now, today. Doesn't mean we're not going to fail and make mistakes, but it means that we can break the cycle we're in and get out of that cycle and realize I'm not going to keep living that way no more. I have been redeemed. I'm not the old man. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. Go to the next scripture. Go down to John. Okay, go back one more to where he was. Yeah, go back one. Click back the one before that. Help him, Ellen. Just click where it says that verse. He was just on it. I'm sorry, guys. Where's Christian at? Oh. Okay. Just find the scripture. Just keep going. Space bar. Right there. Stop. His grace empowers us to live above the power of sin. Man, y'all don't like it, but you like sinning too much. His grace empowers us. What does that mean, his grace and power? How did God's grace come? It came through the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell us. We're not fighting this battle alone, church. We're not standing here and God says, you know what, I died for you, now, buddy, live right. He empowered us through the Holy Spirit pouring himself into us to lead us and to guide us. We're not walking this journey by ourselves. We're not walking apart from God's help. He is there to help us, but do we want it? It's like the rebellious child. If they don't want your help, you can't do nothing with them. Tell them all you want, but if they don't want to listen, no use in trying to help them. We're like that sometimes, rebellious children. God's trying to tell us and teach us and help us, but we don't listen. We're failing to operate in the power of his grace. Okay, next, just hit space bar. You should be fine now. Look at John 14. This is the Amplified version. Look what Jesus says here in John 14, beginning with verse 16. John 14, beginning with verse 16. This is Jesus talking about sending back the Comforter. Sending back. His disciples were real worried. He says, Lord, you're with us now. You say you're going to leave us. You can't leave us. What are we going to do? I'm not going to leave you alone. Look at what 16 says. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever. We're not helpless, church. We're not alone. We're not fighting sin in our own power anymore. We're not having to stand before the devil with a sword saying, I'm going to give you my best shot, but you sure are bigger and uglier and stronger than me. We're not fighting that battle by ourselves. We have a helper, a counselor, an advocate, a strengthener, an enabler living inside of us. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send some help. Help is on the way, and praise God, help is here, and it's here now, living inside of you. That's how we can live over the power of sin in our lives, through the power of grace. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome or take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you continually and will be in you. This is all about grace. I'm going to die. I'm going to pay the price for your sins. I'm the atonement. But I'm going to come back and empower you through my Holy Spirit to live a life dead to sin and alive to righteousness. The only way that's possible is with help. Because I'm telling you, we all know the old saying, my flesh is weak, my spirit is willing. How many times that flesh win? Our flesh is weak, but the spirit in us is stronger than the flesh outside of us. We can choose to live a life different than the world through the power of grace. We can choose to be different. We have to have that desire to want to be different. And I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. This message, if nobody else, is for me today. God has given it for me today. Because sometimes I feel so helpless and hopeless when it comes to the attacks of the enemy and the power of temptation and the power of sin. And I have to remind myself, because sometimes just saying I'm saved is not enough. Well, I'm saved. I can't be doing that. You gotta activate something inside. Of course, we're saved, but I got to have something to guide me. Stronger. I got to have something bigger than what the devil's offering. And the power of grace is bigger. It is bigger. It's kind of like I was reading a book the other day, and it says that when you look at someone the wrong way, it's hard not to see them the first time, but you control the second glance. Man, that knocked me down. We control the second glance. How do we control that? How do we abstain from that? The power of his grace. Leaning on that power. Just like you have, you know, in different groups, AA groups and stuff, they have sponsors, people they call when they're in trouble. Hey, it's 1:00 in the morning. I'm getting ready to drive to a bar. Come get me. Come talk to me. I've got the keys in my hand. Are you going to come stop me? Yeah, I'll be right there. Don't go. I'm on my way. Be there in 3 minutes. You get in your car. You get there. You keep them in the house all night long. They never go out. What'd you do? You helped them. You saved them from that night's decision. We have a helper, church, in the Holy Spirit, that if we'll just call upon him, God, help me. Save me. It's like Peter did when he was drowning. Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and pulled them out of the way. Save me. We're not alone. Quit trying to fight alone. You'll never overcome sin alone. You'll never overcome the cycle of sin alone. We have a power of grace inside of us that teaches us, Titus says, teaches us to deny ungodliness and living godly in this present age. We can have victory over our lives way more than we're letting it happen now. But, as Melanie mentioned in the crutches, we use a lot of crutches, don't we? Let's just get real this morning. Well, my dad was a drinker. My mom was a drug addict. You know, I grew up here. I grew up this. I see this. You know, I'm just a man, Pastor. You know, I don't do that at least. I don't do that at least. And well, at least I don't do that. And I don't do that. It's okay. If you're married to my wife, you'd understand, brother. If you're raising my youngins, you know. If you had my job, oh, I'm so stressed, and I work all these long hours. And so all I want is to pop a little here, do a little this. God understands. It's my release time. And all of these excuses we make, you know what it does? It's to keep us bound into the cycle of sin that our flesh desires to be in. Church, I'm telling you, our flesh always desires wrong things. You may have on your mind right now for lunch, you know what, at lunch I'm going to get nothing but a salad with grilled chicken and no dressing and a glass of water. By the time service is over, you done talked yourself into a Village Inn buffet because your flesh is weak. Actually, that one time I went to Village Inn for lunch and only got the salad bar. I couldn't believe it. That was, you talking about some discipline. I only got the salad bar. I went by that pizza dipping that lettuce, just looking, smelling it. Watching people eat it. Here I am eating my salad. I was so good. Happened one time. Stick the piece on the way out. No, I didn't. I did. I was good. Our flesh is weak. We want to gratify it. You know why it's so hard for people to sit in church for an hour? Sorry. Perfect timing. That was cute. Perfect. Thank you. You know why it's hard? I'm not talking about for, you know, to go to the bathroom or something. I'm talking about people that just don't want to be in church for an hour because I just don't want to be in church for an hour. Too much time. But we can sit and watch a 3-hour football game and be glued to every moment because our flesh is weak. And what we want to do, we'll do. I mean, folks, our flesh will do this. It'll do whatever it wants to do. But the right things, the things God wants us to do, is harder. But it wouldn't be as hard if we would allow grace to operate the way it's supposed to. Grace is not a word we hide behind. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. Cheers. Butt up. Ooh, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. Mama, come on in here. We'll go back to the motel. I'm saved by grace. Hallelujah. Well, I'll fornicate tonight and be forgiven tomorrow. Jesus. Hallelujah. That's not grace. That's abuse of the grace that God is trying to get you to operate in. True grace empowers us to say, I don't do those things no more. I don't act that way no more. I don't go those places no more. Because something inside of me is telling me this is not who I am. The old man is dead. If the old man is dead, why do we keep living in that old man? It's been crucified, the Bible says. We are supposed to walk in newness of life through grace. Go to the next scripture. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. I will come back. And praise God, he did come back. Acts 1 and 8, he says, I will come back, and when I come back, you will be endued with power. And then we go on to Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. They're gathered together, and the mighty rushing wind came in. What happened? The comforter, the helper, the power of grace filled that upper room to indwell them forevermore. That I'm not leaving you to fight this by yourselves. You now have a helper. You now have an advocate. You now have strength inside to overcome and live a life of victory. Just follow my voice, and I'll lead you there. Just follow it. We just need to let grace operate the way it's supposed to. We don't use things spiritually like they were meant to be used sometimes. We need to allow God's gifts and God's word to operate the way they're supposed to flow in our lives. And grace is not something we just hide behind, not a word we use. It's something that empowers us. Go to the next scripture. I love this. This is Romans. Oh, let's stop right there. We have him living inside of us. That's why we can be dead to sin. What does that mean? If the same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, it dwells in us, it will quicken our mortal bodies. So if I have the power of my living God living inside of me, that's how I can be dead to sin. I'm allowing his Spirit now to lead my life. I operate under his government. See, the elections happened. I used to serve the devil. He was the president of my life. I elected the devil. I went in the ballot box and voted D for devil. That's what I checked. But then Jesus came. And I voted R for Redeemer. That's pretty good. D-R, get it? R, Redeemer. Am I trying to say anything there? I don't know. Y'all figure it out. R for Redeemer. And I'm sitting there. And I serve a new president. I used to have to listen to the devil because that's who I belong to. Just like your children, think about this. I remember a couple things growing up. Nothing bad. I know my parents love having their sons a pastor. They get all, you know, I tell all kinds of stories. But one of the things I remember growing up is, you know, I had to take short showers. If I had too long a hot shower, Dad, get that hot water off. Yes, sir. Well, you know what? When I got married and got out of the house, I take showers as long as I want. I took showers till the heat ran out. That's how long I took showers. And you know why? Because I don't have to listen no more to what Dad says. It's my house. It's my water. It's my bill. Whenever we served the devil, we had to listen to him because that's who we belong to. That was our governor. But when we got saved, Jesus took over. And now I belong to him. So I can be dead to what I was. I can now live into who I am. That's the power of grace. I'm dead to the power of sin. It doesn't mean I'm not going to fail and make mistakes, but it means that I no longer have to fall into that leading and guiding of sin that keeps me on that path. I wish I could just break free. Pastor, I'm saved. I love Jesus. I just can't seem to get out of this rut. Begin to lean upon the power of grace again and let the Holy Spirit in you become alive. And man, when you focus on that power as much as you do the things of the world, you will follow the Holy Spirit. Next scripture, this is Romans. Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? Next scripture, Jeremy. Are you ignorant of this fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? What happened at Christ's death? All of our sins and all of our iniquities were placed upon him. And he died with our sin upon him. The Bible says, him that knew no sin became sin, that we, James Lewis, Bruce Hedrick, could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. See, if I was baptized in his death, he didn't stay dead, did he? There's a second part to that story. He rose. So if I've died into his death, I've got to raise into his righteousness. Next verse. We were buried with him by the baptism into death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might be habitually live and behave in newness of life. In other words, because we now have been empowered with his Spirit, we should habitually, that means on a regular basis, live and operate in newness of life. It means this, and let me just say it the only way I know how to say it so everybody understands it. I mean, I can tiptoe around it. Let's just say it so we get a general idea of what I'm talking about. If I hit you here on the head, don't get mad at the preacher. I'm just preaching the word. This means if you are a drunkard and you get Jesus, you should not be a drunkard no more. If you're a fornicator and you find Jesus, you shouldn't be a fornicator no more. It means if you are a cussing like a sailor, blame it on the Navy all you want, church. That's all right. You still choose to do it or not do it. You know, my kids tell me, Dad, there's cussing all of our schools. Well, maybe not mom and dad's, that's way back in the day, but in my day, there was cussing in schools. Don't mean I cussed because they cussed on the bus. You don't understand, everybody cuss. Well, I don't mean you got to cuss. I mean, people eat beef liver. I hate liver. Y'all eat liver? You want some beef liver and onions for lunch? Two or three of you, okay. I don't care how much. I mean, it don't matter. Gordon, come up here, some liver. Pastor, I love liver. The Pope loves liver. Obama loves liver. Reagan loves liver. Michael Jordan loves liver. Jesus loves liver. Come on, brother, eat some liver. Don't you want some liver? Are you a punk? Are you a wimp? Are you a weenie? Come on, eat some liver. Be a man. Come on, everybody's watching. They got TV cameras. Is the pastor going to eat liver? Eat liver, eat liver, eat liver. What you going to do? I ain't touching it. I can't stand it. I just say no. We have a choice, church, through the Holy Spirit to say no. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. So if you've always cussed like a sailor and every third word you got to bleep out if you could, but you say you're born again, this says you should walk and live and behave in newness of life. You shouldn't be saying, praise God, come visit our church. It's a bloop bloop of a church. And I will tell you what, he preached the bloop bloop out of the word. And come on and find you. I found Jesus, praise God, bloop bloop bloop. I tell you, he's one bloop bloop of a preacher, and I don't give a bloop bloop bloop. Just come on out. Wow. Yeah, he's changed your life, I see. I think I'll go down to church at the corner. There should be newness of life. We should live differently. Next verse. For we have become one with him. One, it's a marriage, it's a union, by sharing a death like his. We shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. We can live for God still in this present generation. Young girls can still keep themselves pure if that's the desire they have. Doesn't matter, every girl's given their virginity away. Doesn't matter, every guy is called a punk if he's not experimented. That doesn't matter. We still can live a life for God in this generation. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have to listen to that voice. The devil's going to come against you and try you and test you and tempt you. But we have power and authority through his Spirit to say no. Don't understand, preacher. I tried. You're trying on your own. You are trying on your own instead of allowing that newness of life. How do we build that up? How do we build that power of grace up? By being in prayer in his word, spending time with God. We have to fellowship with the Lord. You know, this is what is so frustrating. I see so many people that are living their lives, and I mean, and I've got kids, and I've done some of that too, but we got parents, man, they won't miss. They'll run their children to 4 games on Saturday and 3 on Sunday and don't teach them nothing about God. I ain't got time for church. Got time for everything else. Got time for everything else. Well, I got to have me time, okay. I got to have kid time, okay. Got to have family time, okay. Where's God time? If God time is not first, and I'm speaking of my own life, church, because I have gotten away from that personally with my life and our lives as a family. You know, I think most of you may understand, but, you know, most of you may not agree with this, but you know, this church still has a very young pastor and family. And we are still raising kids. I'm not a retired preacher, and Melly's not retired. We can just go out and be everywhere and do everything for everybody. We're still raising kids. We still got ball games. We got school functions, you know. There's homework, and there's this, and there's, you know, one going to college, one's dating now. I mean, one's driving now. Two's driving now. We got all this going on. And it's easy to get caught up in that life of forgetting God, forgetting to spend time with the Lord. We're so consumed. Life has dictated such a speed. Me and Melanie were talking about this now. Most of you will not pull up a YouTube video if it's more than 3 minutes long. If you see a YouTube video, 6.5 minutes, man, I ain't got time for that. Really? We've gotten down to just bits, little bits. Something I'm going to be working on, I'll share it later. Something God on my heart tried to do. We'll see if it works out. But we're all about speed and about time and about it being quick. We fuss at everything. And we've not taken time to just be quiet with God. You know what? We can't rush God, church. We can't come on our knees. Okay, God, you got 12 minutes. Speak to him. 10 minutes, God. Hello. Commercial's almost over. The game getting ready to kick off. Hello, come on. I hear the announcers, God. You go speak or not? Move, please. Hello. I'm trying. I'm giving you. Lord, I'm trying. I'm on my knees. Please, Jesus, help me. Please, speak. We can't rush that. You got to spend time. Just block out some time and just fellowship with God. We make appointments with people to keep. We run in here. We got appointments here. Everything's a priority but God. And we've lost operating in that power of grace. Because we're not fellowshipped with it. Understand, when we stop fellowshipping with each other, it's when we lose connection. It's when we lose relationship. When we stop fellowshipping with the Lord, we lose relationship. It's important we get that back. That's how we're empowered. Next scripture. We know that our old, now look at this, our old, unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, talking about our human nature, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be slaves of sin. Our body should become inactive to carry out the deeds of the enemy. Really think about that. We wouldn't carry out orders for someone else that we don't belong to in the earth. Why would we carry things out in order for things in the spirit? You know, I worked at Walmart for years. I sure didn't advertise for Kmart or Target. Hey, go Target. Yay, Target. We love Target. Target's better than Walmart. Yay. I belong to Walmart. That's who I supported. That's who I lived under, the governing of that. When we're saved and we've nailed our old man to the cross, we no longer live a life and present our bodies for evil. We present it for good. I've said many times before in this church that if you are really born again, it shouldn't be that hard to live for God. Because it sure wasn't hard to live for the devil before you were born again. That come pretty natural. If you're really, I'm not saying we're not going to have challenges and temptations and we're not going to have failures. But it shouldn't be, you know, Don should have to get up every morning. Good morning, Barbara. Good morning, Jack and your dog, whatever. Good morning. Yeah, Gracie. Good morning, Gracie. You know, okay, I'm saved today, so I've got to be good. Okay. I can't look at no women the wrong way. I better not. I can't think no bad thoughts, and God, just help me, and I just, you know, I can't, I better, I got to be a good boy today. I've got to be a good boy all day long because I'm saved. It shouldn't be a mental process that we even evaluate. It should be a natural living that we experience. We're born again. Just as Don may have lived for the devil at one point, he should live just as much for God the other way. He's been changed. If you're truly born again, we should be able to naturally live for the Lord. Why? Our spirit's been changed. We shouldn't have to love people. I mean, really. I'm talking about, I know we joke about this, but if you have to look at somebody and you're serious and say, well, you know what? The Bible says, I got to love you. I don't like it, but I got to love you. So God bless you. And you walk off all upset. Well, that ain't walking in grace. It should be natural for us to love people if we're really saved. We should love them no matter what they look like, what color their skin is, what they've been through, what they've done. Because the Bible says God is love. And the Bible says if the love of God is not in us, we're not of him. Love. If you have to make yourself love someone, I don't know. Jesus sure loved us. Love is something that comes very natural to a true born-again Christian. Forgiveness comes natural to a Christian. Patience, understanding, compassion comes natural to a Christian. Just like before, when you were with the devil, everything else opposite of that. Hate, evil, pride, arrogance, talking about it. That all come natural. There are some people you can be around that don't like nobody. Nobody. You bring, oh, I don't like him. Why? I don't like him. You know how we judge people, honestly? As far as I'm talking about personally, how we evaluate somebody is what they've been to us. If every person in this church come said, Gordon Messer hurt me, many says, man, that bobhead that got the beard back there, he hurt me. He was mean to me. I would say, well, many, I'm very sorry. And I, you know, forgive him and you're a Christian, move on. If Linda comes said, that guy was mean to me, you know what I would say? He's done nothing to me, it would be good. He's loved me. And that's all I can go on, what he's been to me. I think that's important as Christians, we realize what somebody is to you is how you judge, what they've been to you. There's a lot of hearsay, a lot of things we don't know the facts of. But what they've been to us is what counts. And I ask each of you to judge me that way, what I've been to you. Not what somebody else says. Oh, you good living word? Yeah, I used to go there. Yeah, he treated me bad. Oh, did he? Yeah, man, he didn't like me. And he talked to me in the office and told me what I should do. And man, you believe it? He told me I need to quit sleeping around. You believe that? Oh, really? Yeah, I'd left too. Yeah, bad, Pastor. Bad. He told me I was wrong. I should make my marriage work. He just don't know. You believe it? Bad, Pastor. Bad. So, judge me on what I've been to you. I've been good to you and loved you, and you know I love you. That's how we do each other. That's how we're supposed to be. That's true love. We should no longer present our bodies. Look, when a man dies, he is free. Look at this. When a man dies. Now, not talking about death in the grave. Talking about death spiritually. Talking about death to sin. When a man dies, he is freed, loosed, delivered from the power of sin. When we die out to Christ, we are freed from the power of sin. We remind ourselves of that. I'm free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has to be the reigning force in my life. I've been freed from it because now grace indwells me. And grace canceled out sin. Grace abolished sin. Remember the old game, me and Ashley playing for the night on trampoline? Paper, scissors, rocks. Okay? Here is sin. Here is grace. Okay? Here is sin. Here is grace. Rock breaks scissors. Scissors cut paper. Grace is always more powerful. It's always stronger. It's always bigger. The Bible says where sin abound, grace abound much more. Grace and the power of that grace living in you is stronger than the sin that's trying to hang on to you. We don't have to keep living that way. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved, delivered, set free. Next scripture. To keep from being puffed up. Now this is a, I think Don taught on this one time. This is when Paul was praying to God about his affliction. To keep me from being puffed up too much, elated by the exceeding greatness of those revelations, there was given to me a thorn, a splinter, in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet, I think I'm buffet, I'm sorry. Getting excited. Buffet and harass me to keep me from being excessively exalted. Three times I called upon the Lord and besought him and begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor, my loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. In other words, whatever we're battling, his grace is enough that we can withstand and overcome anything the devil puts against us. Remind him, greater is he that's in me than that which is in the world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Reminding the enemy, what I have, what God gave me, is more powerful than the hold you had on me. I don't have to walk that way no more. I used to be a womanizer, not anymore. Used to be a drunkard, no more. Used to be a bound with lust, no more. God's power has enabled me to walk in victory over those battles. This is what grace is, church. Grace is not hiding behind a word saying, I'm saved by grace, gift from God. I'm on my way to heaven, thank you, Jesus. But then living a life of defeat and powerlessness. Some of you I know feel powerless against things you're battling. I'm always going to be this way. Nothing's going to change. I have this fight. I've always had this fight. It's always been a struggle. Begin to allow the power of his grace, not the word grace, but the power living in you of grace, to start fighting for you and enabling you. I'm going to tell you, you can overcome the power of sin through the power of grace. That's what Jesus did for you. Next scripture. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Next one. His grace is strong enough to withstand and overcome all things. We just have to allow grace to operate in our lives. Now, what does that mean? I want you to really get this. Church, none of y'all seem as excited as I am today to teach this, and I hope you get something out of it because it's been a blessing to me. This means that we have to want what God wants for us more than what our flesh wants for us. And we say we let grace lead, but if we got plans to go to the bar Saturday night, I'm going to the bar, I've got it down, nothing's going to stop me. God, you can speak to me, and I'll praise you all the way there. I'm going. when God begins to speak to us and try to correct us in our lives, and we don't listen to that, we are not allowing His grace to operate. We are allowing our flesh to operate. There is no good thing in our flesh, church. We have bad, wrong desires by the sin nature, but not by the grace nature. Next scripture. Give me about 10 minutes if you can, because I want to finish this up. Galatians. Look at this. I say walk and live habitually. Once again, make it a habit. We know what habitually means. It means a habit. If we lived right as much as we smoked cigarettes, hallelujah, we'd be full of spiritual cancer. We'd be full. Or if we lived in the spirit as much as we complained and grumbled, where would we be? Walk and live, make it a habit to live in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love this. Look, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. That's what it's there for, to guide us. But we got to allow it to. It's not going to force itself. If we want to do something, church, we're going to do it. The Spirit's not going to come in and blow out our tires and run us off a cliff and, okay, you going to stop now? Well, I'm getting tires fixed and I'll keep going. That's how we are sometimes. No, stop. Be responsive and let the Spirit, let His grace guide you by the Spirit. Then you will certainly, look, if you are responsive and controlled and let the Spirit guide you, you will certainly not gratify those cravings and desires of the flesh. It's hard to gratify the flesh if we're listening to the Spirit, isn't it? Because the Spirit's going to be totally opposite of what the flesh is. God, I listen to you. I want to be controlled by you. I want my life to be controlled by you. I want your grace to become more than a word I hide behind under salvation. I want to be an empowerment in my life that guides me, that teaches me. Grace teaches what's right and what's wrong, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And we have to be careful to listen to grace even when we don't like what it says. When we stub up, I don't have a problem. That's not my problem, Pastor. And we argue with the Holy Spirit, don't we? Argue with the Spirit of God. That's not, nah, you're barking up the wrong tree. It's not me. I ain't got to do it. I can stop. Stop. Is that easy? Stop. And we can't in our own power, but we can through the Holy Spirit. Next scripture. Two more, I believe we got. Those who belong to Christ, Jesus Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. And we live by the Holy Spirit. And if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a big difference, church, in saying I believe something, but I'm living something. If we're going to say that the Holy Spirit lives in us, if we're going to say, I belong to Christ, then live that way. How do we live that way? By allowing the power of His Spirit to guide us and to lead us. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Kind of takes away all the excuses, doesn't it? And all the weak preaching talks about just, you know, do what you want to do. No, you don't do what you don't know. True grace shows us what we need to do. And it doesn't just tell us what we need to do, it equips us to do it. Whenever you begin to do something you know is against God, begin to call up on His name. Say, Lord, I'm being tempted. There's something I want to go do. There's something I'm feeling drawn to. And begin to talk to God and call upon His name. Say, Lord, I need you to help me. Jesus, help me. Begin to spend a few moments just in prayer and meditation into God and watch what will happen. It'll be broke. It'll be broke if you allow the Holy Spirit to do its job. And man, you'll be so thankful you listened afterwards. We have the power to overcome sin through His Spirit because of grace. I'm thankful for that. We're not alone, church. You're not helpless. You're not by yourself. You're not fighting this in your own power. You don't have to anyway. you've been filled with something bigger than any sin comes against you. In your weakness, he is strong. Begin to exercise that power, Greg. Walk in it. There's nothing better than a clean heart and a clear conscience. Man, there's nothing better than that. And if we don't have those things, we are tormented. And we battle every day. I'm making no statement to say we are not going to ever fail, church, or fall. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the cycles that we find ourselves in that we can't break. We keep staying in those cycles. We can break those through the power of His Spirit. But we got to allow it to work. And we've got to acknowledge we need to break it. We've got to first acknowledge I need to break it. I'm not in a good place. I'm in a bad place. And I need your help, God, to break me out of this. I'm not happy with who I am. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. Search me, Lord. Know my heart. Clothe my nakedness with your grace. That's what we should be praying for. But you know why it's hard for human beings? Because we have to surrender. We have to admit our weaknesses. We don't like that. But when we can admit our weakness before God, then we allow the Holy Spirit to do its job in our lives and bring healing and strength to those areas. Just like we show the video of the chisel. It's a guy standing there and God's chiseling all the stuff out. We should be letting God chisel us through the Holy Spirit. Chisel. This isn't right. Let me chisel some of here. Chisel some of here. It's painful going through that process. Very painful. But once it's chiseled out, we live more victorious. We are lights, the Bible says, to the world. Salt to the world. We should shine our lights for all to see. But church, if we are not living a life that reflects the Lord, what kind of light are we shining? Is it a fake light? A light that leads them to the same place? Let me put it this way. And just a rhetorical question for you to think about. You right now, the way you stand spiritually, where you are right now, would you want people to be in the place you are today? And if the answer is no, then it's time to shine a different light. Would I want people following me to where I am right now? Would I be satisfied with that? Some of you would. Some of you wouldn't. Mm-mm. No, Pastor, I'm still in a lot of darkness myself. I don't want to come where I'm at. I'm not in the right place. Then what do? We shine a different light. We shine the right light. They see the true living God that we serve. Our light means everything. It means everything. You know, there's something that I do, and I know a lot of you think this is ridiculous. It's such a minute thing on the scale. And there are ministers that I know, several ministers I know, that drink alcohol. I don't. Never have. And, you know, I care so much about my light that I won't even have a funny-looking virgin drink, they call them, at a restaurant. Because somebody walks in and sees that. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what anybody says. All of you. You may not admit this. If you walked into me, Pablo's, today or any day this week, not that I go every day, but if you walked in and you see me with a big old glass of that funny colored stuff with a big old swirly straw and a flower, the first thing you would do would question, is that really alcohol, you think, or is he just drinking? Then you would think, man, that's my pastor. I don't really look right. I mean, I know it's not like maybe a hell sin, but just don't quite look right. Carrie comes in with her associates. Well, hey, Pastor James, this is so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Nice to meet you. How you doing? This is my pastor. Hey. It's the light we send. It's the light we send, church. Our light is so important. And so there's just certain things that to me that mean something. Because other people, and you know what? There is nothing wrong with drinking a non-alcoholic drink. I mean, we used to have some friends that they moved back to out of state, but we used to have some friends we'd go visit sometimes, and they would make these, you know, non-alcoholic pina colada. And I love coconut. Pina colada with fruit juice and stuff. And we used to go to the house and we drank those. You know, no alcohol whatsoever. But to put it out in public, people are going to always question, that drink or not. The Bible says if you do anything to cause your brother to stumble, stop it. So are we doing things in our lives to make our brothers and sisters stumble or question or give them a license? Well, Bruce does that. He goes to church, sings, plays. Let's be okay. I can do it. Or is it going back, well, Bruce sings and plays, and he does, I don't look good. Anything we do to cause our brothers and sisters to stumble, we need to stop. The Bible's clear on that. So, sitting in a beat-up message church, it's a great message about walking the power of His grace. That we have a strength inside that you don't have to go out here today and keep living the life you're bound to. You can break free. That child is hearing the word and understands it, and I'm so thankful. She has been very active. Thank you, darling, for amening me all morning long. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. I pray that it gets into our hearts, all of our hearts, that we realize that through the power of your grace, we can overcome the appetites and the desires and the wrong passions of our flesh, if that's our desire. God, it first has to be our desire to do that. And then once it is our desire, you've equipped us and you have strengthened us to overcome. Let us tap into that resource of your Holy Spirit, that we will walk in authority and power over the attacks of the enemy. We are strong in you, Lord, and the power of your might. We are overcomers through you and the power of your might. You have not left us orphans or helpless, but you have given us all we need to withstand every attack from the enemy. You've given us all we need to say, no, I'm not going to do it no more. No, I'm not going to go there anymore. No, I'm going to change and stop the way I'm living and surrender to your government, God, and to what you're leading me to do, that my light will be seen by others as being the right light unto you. Lord, I pray that we hear this message and that hearts are changed and that strongholds are broke and that knowledge is being gained by this message today and that our lives have been changed and impacted forever because of it. It's affected me, Lord. You've spoken to my heart directly today, and I thank you for that. You've spoken to me directly to lean on your grace for my power, for my strength, for my overcoming, that I don't have to listen and I don't have to fall into every trap of temptation, but I can stand against it and be strong and say, no, no more. I'm not going to look at that or go there or do that or say that. But God, I'm trusting you to empower my life. I want to give you my life to control from this moment on and to lead and guide my steps, my behavior, my words, my thoughts, my conduct. It all belongs to you. And through you, I'd have that power. Let each heart receive that prayer, God, for themselves today, that they will walk out of here under your authority and breaking the cycle of sin forever. We thank you and we praise you for what you have done and for not leaving us alone. In the name of Jesus, the church said, amen.